Welcome to Live Vedanta, a podcast about simple living and high thinking. If we want to communicate well with others, we first need to know ourselves better. In this episode, Vivekji explains how all aspects of us are subject to the gunas, and how these gunas affect our communication with others.
Hari Om and greetings from Niagara Falls. To think small is easy. Our default is to think about me and mine rather than we and ours. Agreed? To go down is easy. Physically, many cities have towers where you climb those towers to raise funds for causes. And it takes a lot of time to go up, but to come down is easy. Our course feels like this is not easy. And this is only the case because we're changing what is easy. We're changing thinking small and going down from being easy to being hard. Our default should not be to think small, but to think big. What's natural to us should be to follow what is right rather than what is popular. When we change who we are, we change what we aspire for. Whatever you believe you are, you will aspire for that. Our Applied Gita course is for us to start to feel that we are Prince Arjuna and to finally feel that we are Bhagavan Krishna. That is the full application of Bhagavad Gita. In the month of October, we focused on Applied Gita in deciding. To be an awesome decision maker, one has to be dhira. Dhira means deep. If I'm not deep, I become a casual decision maker. I get pushed around. One who is deep knows their value system, knows their dharma, and because they're deep and solid, the context around them adapts to them. As an example, if you're driving and there's a storm and a tree falls into your way, what's going to move first, the car or the tree? Your car is going to move first because it's not as deep, it's not as solid as that tree. The context, you will have to adapt to the content. That's only for those who are deep. And if the context doesn't adapt, the deep person endures. The two virtues that come to one who applies Gita in deciding is that the context adapts to them, they do not compromise, they do not succumb. And secondly is, they endure. Whatever they cannot change, whatever does not change, they endure. Okay? Keep going back to these two points to see if you're applying Gita. For the month of November, we're going to focus on applying Gita in communicating. If you analyze our samskaras, popularly, there are now 16 milestones in one's life, from pre-birth to post-death. From the time one is born to the time one dies, we are ever communicating. First with our tears, then with our, you know, holding on to someone's hand for the last time. We're communicating. If you think of all of the acquaintances in your lives who have become friends, It was through communicating. All of the deals in your life, through communicating. All of the arguments in your life, communicating. So this month, we're going to go deep into communicating, and we're going to begin with chapter 14. Shloka, or verse 17. Chapter 14, verse 17. What is the focus of chapter 14? It is the gunas. An English word for guna is rope. Our minds, our bodies, our intellects, every aspect of us is subject to the gunas. There's ropes that pull us up or sideways or downwards. If I am to communicate with you, I first have to know me, yes? I first have to know how I'm feeling, and that will be an asset in getting to know you, in getting to know how you're feeling. And every one of us chants this regularly. We share, Ma vid vishava hai I. In English, that means, may we not quarrel. And we try to spin this to the positive, which means, may we not quarrel should be, may we understand. May we understand ourselves, because if we understand ourselves, we will understand others. Please repeat. Satvat sanjayate jnanam. Satvat sanjayate jnanam. Rajaso lobha eva cha. Rajaso lobha eva cha. Pramada mohau tamasaha. Pramada mohau tamasaha. Bhavato jnanam eva cha. Bhavato jnanam eva cha. The first quarter. Sattvat, from sattva, jayate, what is born, samjayate, what's well born, is jnana. Is knowledge. The implied meaning behind this quarter is sattvat means like sattva. Sorry, like sat. Sattva means like sat. Sat at an absolute level means existence. At a relative level, it means nobility. Now, every one of us is existing. And this is because of existence. If my thoughts and words and actions, if my lifestyle is like existence, which means it's solid, which means it's firm, which means it's connected, what will arise from that, what I will come to develop, is jnana. Jnana means my mind becomes quiet. And through the quietude of my mind, I naturally can empathize more with you. The more I know my mind, the more I know your mind. The more I tune into my spirit, the more I feel your spirit. Sattva doesn't come fast. Rajas comes faster and tamas even faster. Sattva comes slowly. Sattva is evolving. And our whole lifestyle has to be like sat. Solid, noble. Sharing this from another perspective. In our happy hour senior class, we're studying a text called The Tao of Poo. And recently we studied how the main characters in the Winnie the Pooh story all have knowledge, but their knowledge is of a different use. So hear me out on this. You all know who Eeyore is. Eeyore is the donkey. Eeyore has knowledge, and what he does with that knowledge is he complains. With that knowledge, he complains. And it's like if I know a certain detail about Sheila, that she forgot to put this spice in a food, or she forgot to pick this up for Vyasa, because I know that detail, I can pick on her, correct? But if I don't know that detail, if I don't have that knowledge, I can't complain about that, correct? Eeyore. Then the next character is Rabbit. Rabbit also has knowledge. And what he does with that knowledge is he tries to be clever. You all know people like that. They use that knowledge almost to show off, to make another person feel bad that you don't know this, that cleverness. The next character that's highlighted is Owl. And a lot of us are not like Eeyore, some of us are. A lot of us are not like Rabbit, but a whole lot of us are like Owl. Owl uses their knowledge to convey wisdom. Now, he's conveying wisdom. That doesn't mean he believes it or follows it, but he conveys that wisdom. It's very much like giving advice is easy, but following is hard. And then you have Pooh. Pooh the bear. Pooh also has knowledge, but his knowledge is useful. The utility of Pooh's knowledge is that he is simple. In his simplicity, he knows himself, and so he knows others. There's no hiding, there's no faking. In Taoism, this is called the uncarved block. If you saw an uncarved block, wouldn't you think Sat? Wouldn't you think existence? There's so much of connections between even Taoism and Vedanta. Be simple. How do I develop sattva? By simplifying my lifestyle. You know yourself better. So many times we want to speak, but if you think about it, maybe you don't have to speak. That itself is the art of communication, no? Next quarter. Rajaso lobha evacha. If one is rajasic, Rajas means aggressive, then what they feel and what they express is lobha. This is the literal meaning. Let's study this in the context of communication. Lobha is really the sense of exchange. Lobha means greed, correct? A greedy person wants to get, but is not ready to give, or wants to give less, yes? So much of American politics is about that. The balance of getting and giving, correct? Those who have higher incomes and those who have lower incomes. So lobha is this mentality of exchange. Now, another word for exchange when it comes to people is expectation, isn't it? I go to Walmart and I exchange goods and services for funds, but when it comes to people, it's not an exchange, but it's an expectation. Yes? So here, lobha is highlighted as expectation, and now you all know there's many enemies that live inside of us. Kama is desire, krodha is anger, lobha is greed. What's the next one? Moha. Moha is confusion. Or distortion. When someone has an expectation of another person, of another group of people, all that they're about to say or act, in whatever manner, is distorted. All that they hear is distorted also. Now, if I'm communicating to you and my Wi-Fi keeps breaking, everything I'm saying is distorted, correct? Can there be communication then? There's a connection, but there's not a communing. We're not trying to feel each other out. So this happens when we live aggressive lifestyles. We live by expectation and all is distorted. All input, all output is distorted. And that's not even the worst form of communication. There's one lower than that. Pramada mohau tamasaha. Tamasaha is darkness. It is laziness. Tamas is laziness, rajas is aggressiveness, and sattva is calmness. When one is lazy, then there's pramada. Pramada means carelessness. One who is lazy doesn't care about the next person. At least if I'm rajasic, I care enough about you because I know you can give me something. You can do something for me. But when there's tamas, I don't care about you, period. Okay? And I'm going to overlap these words with simple English words we know. Tamas sounds like apathy, no? I know you need help, but I don't care. Then rajas would be sympathy. I know you need help, but my perspective is still oriented towards me. And sattva would then become empathy. I know you need help, and helping you is as important as helping me, because I feel that sat, I feel that nobility. So there's inadvertence. And in Viveka Churamani, Acharya Shankara says, the person who's inadvertent has died. Pramado vai mrityuhu. Inadvertence is death itself. And if you can extrapolate that to language. Remember some time ago I was telling you, when people apply for the police force here in Niagara Falls, part of their certification is that someone goes back into their social media history. And that is the single most intense filter whereby people are no longer eligible to be officers because of something they said 10 years ago. Because something they posted 5 years ago. In that moment of inadvertence, suppose a racist comment was made or they supported someone who's sexist, then they can't work for the community, correct? They can't be ambassadors. Entire relationships can end when one is inadvertent. I'll give you a framework to think about this purely from a Vedantic sense. Stones, plants, and animals all live by prakriti. Nature is their control system. An animal will only eat as much as it needs to, will only sleep as much as it needs to. A plant will only do what it needs to. Do you all agree? Prakriti is its control system. Humans are the only part of creation that is not subject to prakriti. That control system has been lifted from humans to see if we're mature enough, to see if we're evolved enough. And those who live by tamas or rajas, that's called vikriti. They devolve to be animalistic in how they interact with others. And those who are not inadvertent, but are careful, those who are sattvic, that's called samskriti. That samskriti is how they keep on refining themselves to not be humans, but to be divine. So what I'm sharing with this third quarter is, it requires consciousness, intentional living, to not devolve, to not give in to vikriti. And knowing this framework of tamas, rajas, sattva, one lives by that samskriti. The last quarter is similar to the third one. Bhavato ajnanam evacha. This inadvertence, this confusion, all this ignorance, all of this is because of this laziness within oneself, that animalistic, plant-like tendency to just go by our default. You're creating your default. With every thought, every word, every action, that's where your default is coming from. Srimad Bhagavad Gita is a Adhyatma Shastra. Adhyatma means from the perspective of the Atma, is connecting with the spirit. And from that perspective, you don't objectify any part of creation. You feel that subjective connection. And if I can share this with you in an example, what's in my hand right now? A bookmark. What are you not realizing about this bookmark? That there's light here, correct? If there's no light, would you be able to see that bookmark? You wouldn't be able to. See, from our non-adhyatma level, we keep focusing on objects, and that includes people. We see their skin, we see their utility. But from the perspective of the adhyatmic, you see that there's light there. That light is that existence, that awareness. You feel that light, that existence, awareness in yourself. From that perspective, communicating becomes natural. Communicating becomes easy. If you think of those who are enlightened, they're able to communicate not just with people. Sri Ramana, Swami Shivananda, they lived in the jungle. And there's lots of documented narrations of tigers and cobras and all sorts of animals that would just live with them. Even though these creatures would have animosity, natural animosity to humans, that sense wasn't there. Because that rishi, those who are enlightened, they're tuned into that adhyatma. And how we can do so is to let go of that laziness by being aggressive, letting go of aggressiveness by being calm. Okay? The more you know how you feel, the more you can not just work hard, but work smart with communicating with others. Now, one last thought. When you're in a bad mood, should you open your mouth? When you're tired, should you have an important conversation? No. That's the importance of knowing the gunas intellectually, but feeling the gunas within yourself. Let's chant the shloka. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobha evacha pramada mohau tamasaha Bhavato Jnanamevacha.
In case you missed it, Chinmay Mission Niagara just launched this year's Elevate Her Story campaign on Deepavali to give back to those who've cared for the lands we thrive on today. Visit Elevate Her Story at chinmayniagara.com under the Initiatives tab for details on how to support Indigenous women and children.